all being here. I know there's several guests of regular church members, and we appreciate you being here today. And I've got some returning visitors, so thank you for coming back. We must have said something right. Didn't run you off. But anyway, we appreciate you being here today. And again, thank you. Thank you for all the work that's been put into the VBS. Looking forward to that. And obviously, there will be seeds of the gospel planted is our desire. Maybe the kids might hear of the gospel story for the first time. You never know. And then it'll be watered. And if the Lord gives increase, that'll be up to Him. But we're excited about it and appreciate all the help. And like Brother Derek said, I go on there and repost and resend, and I don't know any of that stuff. But I think you can boost something. I think we have to pay for that. But anyway, but we'll put it all out there, those that know how to do all that stuff. And we'll be here. And again, I hear that I get a pie in the face at the end of this week. I don't know how I did it 2 years in a row. I thought Brother Derek and I were going to rotate that. But he said he took one for the team. Now it's all me. So, but anyway, but we appreciate you helping decorate and helping invite, and then obviously helping it throughout the week. And pray for good weather and pray for a good turnout and pray for God's blessing. So anyway, today we're in 1 Corinthians 6. We're going to look at verse 20 in just a second. But we just celebrated the America's birthday and so forth, and I had the privilege of going over to Cincinnati. I don't know if that was a privilege, but I had the privilege of going over to Cincinnati to see Red, White, and Boom, and that was amazing, and saw the symphony over there, and then saw some lovely fireworks. And of course, you hear stories about, you know, freedom isn't free. And of course, we do have freedom. Praise the Lord and thank the Lord for the men and the women that gave the ultimate sacrifice so we could have that. And so that's what they're meaning by that. Freedom isn't free because there are some people that gave their life so we could have it. And we ought to be appreciative of that. And some people, you see them out in public, maybe they didn't lose their life, but maybe they lost a limb. And of course, we ought to be appreciative of that. Maybe take care of their meal, at least say thank you to them, and things like that. And then there are some that, they got messed up mentally and things like that, and they ought to be taken care of, and so forth. But just like freedom wasn't free for America, freedom or salvation for us to go to heaven wasn't free either. It's free to us. It doesn't cost us anything. Just like living in America, those of us that didn't have the privilege of serving and giving our life or so forth, we get to live in that freedom. Same thing with salvation. You get to go to heaven one day and live in heaven, and it didn't cost you anything. But it did cost Jesus everything. So we're looking here in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. And it says here, "Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price." So there was a price given for salvation. There was a price given for us to go to heaven. In our busy commercial-like days, we're always thinking and talking about the value of things, or how much did that cost? I remember that as a teenager. That was a thing, I guess, back in the day where you had to have a name brand this or a name brand that, and it was like, how much did that cost? How much did that cost? And I'm sure people were lying just so they could fit in and things like that. But, I mean, in our day and time, it's crazy how much things cost. I saw something the other day. It said I filled up my truck with gas, $150. I got a week of groceries, $350. I'm okay with 37 felonies. That's what I saw. But anyway, so we'll see. Amen. But anyway, it says that things cost. I mean, how much does that cost? How much does that cost? And there's things that we have to deal with. Those of us that are adults, anyway. You know, our kids just say, well, I said when I was a kid, run out his check. Now, they don't do that much these days. Maybe the kids today say, Dad, just tap it. All right, just tap it, Dad. That's all you got to do, just tap it. And so forth. But, my dad explained to me there has to be money in the bank before I can write that check so it covers it. And I'm like, huh? But anyway, I didn't get it as a kid, but now I get it because I have to write the checks or I have to tap and make sure it's there. But things cost. It's expensive. Houses cost. Cars and vehicles and trucks cost. Clothes cost. Shoes cost. And it's crazy. If you have multiple kids, you try to make them take care of it so you can pass it down to the next kid. But that doesn't work most of the time because they wear it slap out. But shoes cost. Purses. Purses cost. I'm like, this one at Walmart holds your stuff. But yeah, it won't last. All right, I mean, at least, praise the Lord, she lets me go to the outlet mall before we buy a, I think of Dooney and Burke, I think it is nowadays for her. It used to be Coach, but I'm glad it's just not that other one. Ladies? Louie. All right, Louie. I'm glad she don't like Louie. All right. Woo! I mean, one purse, $1,800. I'm like, dude, I'll get you a Walmart plastic bag, and it won't cost us anything. Anyway, but stuff costs. Anything just costs. Some people, I said this in Sunday school this morning, well, let's wait till we can afford to have a baby to have a baby. Good luck with that. All right. Some people can, maybe. They put enough in the bank to take care of all those diapers and those wipes and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, you just babies are expensive. You take them to the doctor. They want to keep them. groceries cost. Gas costs, we already talked about that. The cost of living. To go to college, you got to have grants and helps and, you know, all this kind of stuff, and you're in debt for the rest of your life. Engagement rings, my goodness. I mean, I remember back when I bought one, they wasn't as expensive as they are now. And I guess it's the size that matters. Is that what it says? You know, it's got to have that bling on there. But anyway, things just cost. And I said all that to say this, heaven costs. It won't cost us anything, but it costs Jesus everything. So we run around, you know, trying to buy things, and we get the run around. You know, you go to buy a car. Whew, what's that new thing that they got? You can get them in the bubble gum machine, where you don't have to talk to people. All right, and they'll deliver it to your house. I'm leaning, but that's just crazy because you get the run around. Well, how much will it cost? Well, and they start. We'll do some calculate, dude. How much is it going to cost? All right? And I guess they got to hear that out the door because, you know, they'll tell you one price and you go to that little room and they'll ask you if you want to, you know, insure it till Jesus comes and have 19 different warranties on it. And now for the low, low, low price of hidden fees. It's crazy. And so how much does it cost out the door? And then spiritually speaking, we say, you know, how much did our soul cost? How much does heaven cost? And Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. I'll read John 14:2 says this, in my Father's house are many mansions. Many mansions. You know how much a mansion costs down here? But it says here in heaven there's many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And so some people, they've tried that. Well, I'll just build a house. Good luck. It's still going to cost. You might shave a little bit, but it's going to cost. And then, you know, you go to places, and that's what they say these days, cash or card. And you know, you're going to tap it, swipe it, insert it, whatever, and things like that. Then you hear stuff like this, down payments, installment plans. And you get all nervous. Interest rates. Oh, my goodness. Prepaid penalties. If you pay it off, we're going to still suck some out of you. Prepaid penalties, gap insurance. That's what the goat says, right? Gap. All right. But anyway, the Aflac dude. Insurance, maintenance plans. I mean, they just want to take everything from us, right? Because everything costs. So when we're going to look at Jesus' installment plan this morning, why? Because he purchased our souls. He purchased us heaven. And again, I know he paid the whole thing, and if you could look at the whole lump sum as one, but what we're going to do this morning, we're going to look at four installment plans that Jesus paid for us. He bought us with a price. That's what it said in 1 Corinthians 6. So we're going to look at Jesus' four installment plans he had to do. And so sometimes you maybe have like a balloon payment. Don't ever do that, please. But anyway, balloon payment. So in other words, you can live here free. But in 10 years, we're going to kill you. We're going to take everything. Balloon payments, things like that. But Jesus had four installment plans. He bought your soul. He bought my soul. And he bought us heaven. So we're going to look at these four installment plans. First installment plan was leaving heaven and coming to earth. Leaving heaven and coming to earth. Some of you, you've stayed at nice, nice, nice places for vacation. But you know what? Vacation's going to be over. You're going to have to come back to the real world. And you think, man, if I could just stay in this hot tub, or if I could stay in this pool, or if I could just stay in this big old huge house forever, this would be great. But what do we have to do? we got to go home. And hopefully you had a nice place, but anyway, but it can't last. So Jesus, I mean, it cost him something. He left heaven, the best Airbnb ever, all right, to go back down to earth or go to earth. And so it cost him leaving heaven and going to earth. Wow, because the Bible says that Jesus existed before this world began. I know this goes against our brain a little bit. Well, I thought he was born from a virgin and a baby. He was. All right, but the Bible says he was up there before he came down here. I'll give you a couple verses you can write down. John 17:5 says this, "And now, O Father," this is Jesus talking, "glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world began." So we see that Jesus was in the heaven. And so for him to pay for our souls and for him to make it possible for us to go to heaven, it cost him something. He had to leave heaven to come to the earth. Now, we can't fathom how awesome or how a major change that was. Why? Because we've never been there. And I think we'll come to the full realization of this verse once we do get there. But he had to leave that to come to this. Another place it's found is 2 Timothy 1:9. 2 Timothy 1:9 says this, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." So Jesus was in heaven before he came to the earth. His first installment plan to pay for our souls and to pay for heaven was that he had to leave heaven to come to earth. Two more verses. Genesis 1:26. Genesis 1:26 says this, "And God said, let us." Okay, so there was a group of people there. It's called the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Genesis 1:26. "And God said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness." So Jesus, according to these verses, was in heaven, had to give that up to come live on this earth. That was his first installment plan. So he was the highest being in heaven. I paraphrase some of these statements from verses in the Bible. But it says here, angels did all his bidding. In other words, anything that he wanted, angels brought it to him. They were singing about him. I kind of envision maybe sitting on a lawn chair. I don't know. Lean back. Big elephant ear, getting fanned. We're talking about all his bidding, feeding me grapes. I don't know, all right? But the Bible says that anything that Jesus wanted, the angels did it for him. But it says here, he emptied himself of all his glory. Why? Because he had to come be born of a virgin. He had to live in a human body. He had to become 100% man. But he stayed 100% God. But then it says here, and he came to earth and took on himself of no, or made himself of no reputation. He came down in, the Bible says, a form of a servant. So, again, I've never been a millionaire or live in a mansion or have anybody feed me grapes. But I can imagine if that was the case, and then I had no place to live. I was under the bridge sleeping, or I was in the woods sleeping. That would be a major change. And that's what he did for us. He gave it all up to come and have no reputation. Philippians 2:7 says this, "But made himself of no reputation, but took on him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man." So we see that God left heaven, or Jesus left heaven and came down here on earth. So when he was born, he wasn't even born like babies are born today. I mean, today, I got in on the beginning of that daddy's going into the living room thing. All right, all I heard about was daddy's waiting in the waiting room, you know, raising the roof when the kid was born and celebrating, okay? And, you know, giving out cigars. You know, I'm a Christian, so I had to give out bubblegum cigars, okay? But anyway, I missed that. She's not in here. But I got the privilege of going in there, all right, and getting my hands squished. And, you know, she got demonic talking to us, you know. Anyway, but in our day and time, man, I mean, it's the more the merrier, I guess. They got huge rooms, walls will open up, bring everybody in, video, whatever. But we see that it was definitely clean. They killed all the germs. Squirt, squirt, wrap, wrap, mass, mass. Everything was clean. It was ready for the baby. But Jesus left heaven and came to earth. And there was no squirt, squirt on the wall. There was no mask. There was no spotless room. There was no, machines to monitor everything. It was in a barn. And I guarantee you, it didn't smell like Otoban or Lysol or whatever they might have sprayed in that hospital. I won't go into detail what it smelled like, but it was a barn and so forth. So we see that he left heaven and came to earth to pay for our souls and to buy us heaven. Jesus was born with the animals. It was probably loud in there. Lots of germs. It was not pleasant to the nostrils. So he left heaven. He was in heaven one night. The next night, he was in a stable. It cost him something. His first installment plan was leaving heaven and come to earth. One day, he was in a robe of royalty. And the next day, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes, the Bible said. What swaddling clothes is just old material ripped into shreds that they wrap mummies in it or wrap lepers' wounds in it. So he left the designer robe that he had in heaven and came down and was wrapped in grave clothes. So we see it did cost him something. So after Jesus' baptism from John the Baptist, so I guess that made Jesus a what? Baptist, thank you. All right. Anyway, we are in a Baptist church, so I figured I'd throw that out there. But anyway, Jesus got baptized from John the Baptist, which made Jesus a Baptist, and so he was there. And now we're going to look at that that second installment. So he, there it is right there. So he left heaven and came down to the earth, and it was not a gradual descent. It was one night there, one night here. I'll read one or two more verses before I get to that second installment. Luke 2:10 says this, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings and great joy, which shall be to all people." So all people can have that freedom. All people can be saved. All people can go to heaven. Why? Because it was given to all people. "For unto us," or "for unto you, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is called the Christ." So he was born in that stable, but he left heaven, first installment. The Bible says that he came all the way from the throne of glory to the manger, that we might go from the manger all the way to the throne of glory. So the door of heaven swung outward to let him out, so it could one day swing inward to let us in. John 10:1 says this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he entereth not by the, or he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up another way as a thief and a robber." So there's only one door to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. And you have to accept him and go in that door. So the first installment was him leaving heaven and going to the earth. The second installment is this. Now he gets down here. He's had angels bidding, doing all his bidding, singing about him, praising him, taking care of him. And lo and behold, he comes to the earth, and from going from a place of mansions to a stable, now he goes from people taking care of him to this guy attacking him. And so we see after his baptism, he was led for 40 days into the wilderness. And it said there he fasted and prayed for 40 days. Again, I always say this, I don't know that I can make it 40 minutes without eating, but he made it 40 days without eating. And so again, it did cost him something. Again, there have been a few times in my life that I've fasted and thought something was important enough to try to show God my sincerity and things like that. But again, he was there for 40 days praying and fasting. So when he came out of the wilderness, lo and behold, here comes blasts of temptation. I mean, just right at you. And again, I've said this many times in here. I do not need to discuss things when I'm hungry. I don't need to try to decide what's going to take place when I'm hungry. I don't need to definitely argue when I'm hungry. Why? Because I do. I get hangry. I got to have something now. Let me finish eating and then we'll talk. We'll discuss. But here he is, 40 days without eating, 40 days of praying, come down, left heaven to come to earth for us. And then lo and behold, bam, Satan blasts him right in the face. And he came out of that wilderness for those temptations. It's found in 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says here, "There hath no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with that temptation will also make a way of escape that you will be able to bear it." Obviously, Jesus knew this principle. Even though he was starving, he was hungry. He hadn't eaten in 40 days, and lo and behold, temptation. Wham! But the Bible says, and we'll see it in here in a second, he was tempted in every point, the Bible says, just like we were, yet without sin. So what did he do? He put that way of escape into practice. So Satan's first temptation after he was hungry was to be, "Hey, you're God. Here's some stones. Turn them into bread." And James 4:17 says here, "Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So he found that way of escape. He put that principle of resistance in. Matthew 4:4 says this, "But he answered and said unto, it is written," talking about the Bible, "man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God that proceedeth out of the mouth," by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So, yes, he was hungry. But he wasn't going to fall to the temptation of Satan. He resisted him. He found that way of escape. And that way of escape was quoting him Scripture. So Satan said, "You're right." And it's because Satan knew the Bible too. Just ask Eve. So Satan took him up to that pinnacle of the temple and said, "Okay, we're talking about the Bible now. And this would probably be a good thing. If you would throw yourself off that pinnacle, God would send angels to swoop down and catch you, and everybody could see that, and this would get your earthly ministry going, and this would definitely be posted about and put on Instagram, and the word would get out that you're trying to set up your kingdom. This got to help, right? You know, just throw yourself off. God's not going to let you do that." It says here he resisted him again with the word of God. And Satan told him that that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And so then after he resisted there, that's found in Matthew 4:7. After he resisted there, Satan said, "Okay," and he took him higher, went to the highest point of this mountain. And he said, "Look, this is all the kingdom. And the word of God said that God give me charge over this world. I'm the God of this world. And you're supposed to be setting up your kingdom." But obviously not till he comes back. So Satan was trying to twist the word of God again. So anyway, he said, "If you'll just bow down to me and serve me, I will give you rule and reign over all this." Matthew 4:10 says this, "Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence." In other words, in our vernacular, get out of my face. Back off. All right? And it says here, "Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." So Jesus won the victory over Satan's temptation, and he will help you. And he will help me. Why? He's been there and done that. He can help us overcome that temptation. So the song that we sing, I don't think we sang it this morning, but "Take the name of Jesus with you as a shield from every snare. When temptation round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer," is what that hymn says. And so what Jesus is saying is, "Hey, I faced him. I've got the way of escape. I've got the verses how to resist him." So when Jesus was tempted in all points, that's found in Hebrews 4:15. For it says this, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities." In other words, we can't tell Jesus, "You don't know what you're talking. You don't know what I'm feeling. You don't know how I'm, what I'm going through." No, the Bible says he does. He can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So we see here his first installment plan to buy our souls and to make us a place in heaven was to leave heaven and come to earth. His second installment plan was winning the victory over Satan. Because the Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. So any temptation that Satan brings you, God's got a verse for you. And God says, "I'll help you. Just breathe that holy name in prayer." So he made an installment plan of leaving heaven to come to earth. He made an installment plan of battling Satan and winning. Third installment. This is tough. Okay. A third installment was his lonely life on earth. His lonely life on earth. Nobody likes to be lonely. Nobody likes to be forgotten about. Nobody likes that. But the Bible says in Matthew 8:20, and Jesus said unto them, or him, foxes have holes, and birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. I mean, again, we might not have a mansion, but we got a house. We might not have a mansion, but we have at least an apartment. We might not have a mansion, but at least we have a room that we've rented. We've got a place, but he didn't even have a place to lay his head. We talked about the stable, but that was borrowed. They had to rent it. Not only did he have to rent the stable, he had to borrow a boat to preach in. Said the Bible says the crowds were so great, he said, hey, can I borrow this boat? And they pushed him out a little bit. So he had to borrow a boat. Then he was even buried, but he had a borrowed tomb. Joseph of Arimathea said, hey, he can borrow mine. He didn't have anything. He was poor of property. He was poor of relationships. Jesus never was able to say, hey, come over to my house. Jesus would never said, hey, this is my wife, or this is, he wouldn't say this is my husband. He didn't have a mate. He never was able to say, hey, these are my kids. He had a lonely, lonely life. So we see that he suffered in the garden when he had that lonely life. That was his third installment plan. These blessings that we get to say all the time, he was denied of. He was rich, but for our sake, he became poor, that through his poverty, we might become rich. He came to his own, and his own received him not. John 1:11. So not only did he have not a place to lay his head, and he had none of those relationships that he could talk about and enjoy, but thirdly, we see here that his own didn't even receive him. It's kind of like you going to a family reunion and nobody's speaking to you. You go to the family reunion and they lock you in a room. You go in the family reunion and they beat you. So we see here his own. The prophets had been preaching about it. The Messiah's coming. The Messiah's coming. They've been preaching about it for years. He's coming. And he's like, here I am. No, you're not him. You're a liar. No, that's the prophets that's been preaching. It's me. No, you're a liar. Singers had been singing about his coming. Sing that song, here I am. No. The people were looking forward to it, and now that he had arrived, they rejected him, and they received him not. It had to be very hurtful. But when he arrived, they didn't even recognize it. They received him not. Probably the hardest blow. He could say, okay, I'm leaving heaven for just a little while. I'll be back. And I'm going to go make it possible for them to come to heaven. I can handle that. And Satan, I got the word of God. I resisted him. But emotionally, this had to be a big blow. Why? Because he loved them. He came to save them. He came to his own, but they received him not. So we see now the fourth installment. The fourth installment, that third installment was probably an emotional suffering. I mean, huge. But now, obviously, we see that there was a physical suffering as well. It started in the Garden of Gethsemane. It says here that he suffered and he sweated great sweat drops of blood. So his followers in the context of this story, his followers were following him. And he said, hey, I'm going to pray some. And he came back after he got finished praying and they'd fallen asleep. And he said, hey, couldn't you just pray 1 hour? And let's start this thing again. He went, obviously, they went back to sleep. But he was praying. His foes were crying out for his blood. Crucify him, crucify him. His body was sweating great sweat drops of blood. It says here, his prayer was, let this cup pass from me. He was hurting so bad in the Garden of Gethsemane that he was thinking he was going to die there and not be able to make it to the cross. So it says here, it was for me in the garden. He prayed not my will but thine. But he had no tears for his own grief, but sweat or great sweat drops of blood for mine. So we see that he was praying in the garden when his suffering started. Then he suffered sham trials. It was kind of forced on him. He falsely accused. And it went from, you know, one person, whoa, I don't want to touch that. No, I'm cleaning my hands from that. Send him somewhere else. Back to him, this, that, and other. Just all that sham stuff, that fake stuff. And then they said, okay, we'll get out of it by offering them this prisoner that's been stealing from them. Surely they'll want him crucified and let Jesus go. But that didn't work. And they said, crucify him, crucify him. So in their justice system, they're like, well, if he's going to be crucified, he's got to be scourged first. And so talks about, if you read the customs back then, it was almost kind of like a hitching post that they bent his back over, and they beat him with a cat of nine tails, and he suffered. It cost Jesus everything to buy us our eternal soul into heaven. So we see here that he suffered in this sham trial. They're mocking him. The Bible says buffeted him, but that means hit. So they would hit him when he wasn't looking and say, "You're God, tell us who hit you." Then they would spit in his face. Then they would yank out his beard. And then they lashed on him with their tongues. They beat him. Then they took that thorn, that crown of thorns, and these weren't like little blackberry sticker bushes. These were thorns. And it said they took a reed, kind of like a club that a caveman would have, and drove it down in his head. So it cost him some pain. So then they nailed him to the cross. And then once that took place, they picked up that cross and dropped it in the hole. I'm sure they didn't ease it down. And the Bible says that, and customs would say that most of the joints would be just yanked out. And so you couldn't breathe. And so then you'd try to push up. And all those wounds from the cat of nine tails would be catching in that bark of that tree and just rip the hide. So he suffered on the cross. So it says here, and then, after all that, it says in the Bible that the sins of mankind, in other words, everybody that had lived from that day back, from that day forward, all their sins were placed on Jesus. And the Bible says God can't look at sin. So now, not only did he suffer all that physical pain and that emotional pain, I came to be their Messiah. Now his own father turns his back. And what does the Bible say? Why hast thou forsaken me? Couldn't look at sin. The world turned dark. The veil was rent from the top to the bottom. His father turned his back on his son. So he could not breathe. He'd push up. And then he finally said, "It is finished." All four installments. I left heaven, came to earth for you. I resisted Satan and battled him and won the victory for you. I was rejected by my own people and lied about and crucified for you. Even my own father couldn't look at me for you. It says here, Jesus paid it all. It is finished, and he gave up the ghost. So we saw this morning the four installment plans. Heaven's free, but it cost Jesus everything. He left heaven and came to earth. He fought the battle against Satan. He lived a lonely life, and he died on the cross to pay for our sins. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's all stand. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day, and thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. Lord, it's kind of a morbid story and some things that caused you suffering. But Lord, that just shows how much you loved us. Just like the men that fought for our country and gave the ultimate sacrifice. Now their families talk about that. And obviously they get recognized for that, and deservingly so. And we get to live in freedom because of the ultimate sacrifice that those men and women gave. But Lord, one day, when we're all in heaven, it'll be because of the sacrifice you made and these four installments that you gave. And Lord, help us all, Lord, to realize, Lord, how important that is. You did all that so that we would accept you as our personal Savior and that we could come to heaven. Brother Derek's going to lead us in a hymn. And if you're not saved today and you'd like to be, I can take the Bible to show you how you can be. Brother Derek.